Behold, he lives forevermore. He is risen. That was almost enthusiastic early in the morning. I am so impressed. Outstanding. Hey, folks, listen, he has risen, and that has changed everything. Look at the cross. You know, the symbol, the symbol of Roman oppression, the symbol of death, the symbol of suffering, the symbol of bondage. And Jesus has, because he has risen, Jesus has turned that symbol into a symbol of our salvation, the tool that Jesus used to make it possible for us to have eternal life with him. It is a symbol now of Jesus' victory over sin and death so that we can live forever. What an amazing thing this salvation is. What an amazing thing his resurrection is. As we begin our service, let us remember the day that this new life that Jesus experienced on the first Easter became real in us when we were given our new life in Christ, at the day that we were adopted into his family in our baptism, and we remember the name spoken over us in that baptism. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bring glory to you today because you have made it possible for us to have life in you because you live. Lord, we do not follow a dead God, but you are a God who is alive and with us today, a God who is in heaven preparing a place for us, a God who is working in our hearts, helping us to know you better, a God speaking through your word and changing this world. Lord, a God that is providing for us, a God who is with us always, and a God who is going to bring us home to live with you one day. Lord, you are an amazing God, a God who lives. Lord, we pray that you would be here with us this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would send your spirit to work in us, help us to understand the message and the words that are spoken and sung today so that we will be able to grow in our faith, grow closer to you, to have the relationship with you, Lord, that you so desperately want to have with us. Thank you, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let's stand up and let us confess our sins. Folks, he is risen.
He is risen.
And folks, because he is risen, we have salvation in him. We bring our sins to him. We lay them at the foot of the cross, knowing that on that cross he paid the full penalty for that sin, and that because he is risen, we receive life in his name. Let us confess our sins and receive that forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us now return praise and thanksgiving to this wonderful God who lives.
Holy day, Alleluia.
is risen.
Good.
We don't say that often enough. Paul tells us that in his scripture here, that if Christ was not risen, we would be the most miserable people there are. And that, but he said he is risen, and so we can joy and have peace with him. And we'll listen to what Paul has to say. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Praise be to God.
Thank you so much, Darwin. All right, children, it's now time for the kids' message. So if you guys would come forward at this time, there are a lot of flowers and stuff over there. So let's meet over here. There's a little bit more space, okay? So come on forward, guys. All right, have a seat, folks. How are we doing? Come on in. Keep squeezing in. Make room for all your friends. All right, well, here's what I have for you today. You know what? When I was really little, when I was in second and third grade, my parents would like to go out every once in a while, and they'd leave us with a babysitter. You guys ever have a babysitter?
Yep.
All right, we had the best babysitter. He was so awesome, because this guy, he would tell us stories. And it was stories that he was obviously just making up right then and there. And they were ridiculous, and they were over the top, and they were so much fun, and we loved him because he would tell us stories. Anybody here love stories? Absolutely, that is it. Well, here's the thing. God loves to teach us through stories, doesn't he? Anybody ever hear of what's the story of the Good Samaritan? You guys know that one? The good story of the Good Shepherd, right? And we have the story of the lost son or the prodigal son, right? We have all kinds of really awesome stories in the Bible. Well, Jesus' life has been given to us. They tell us about Jesus by telling us all the stories of all the things that he ever did. And what I have here today is it's basically like a little flip chart of a whole bunch of the stories. But these are all the stories that happen right before Easter, okay? And it starts with Palm Sunday. Anybody remember Palm Sunday? If you were here on Palm Sunday, whoops, yeah, Palm Sunday, it's right there. Yeah, it's right there. He's disagreeing. Anyway, you can't disagree with this. Anyway, but the thing is that we on Palm Sunday, remember we had the parade here and everybody, who's in the parade? Was that fun? Yeah, it's always fun to be in a parade. And so we had the parade on Palm Sunday when Jesus entered in Jerusalem, and then we have Jesus who cleaned out the temple. Ask your parents about that, that's a good story. And then we have the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment? Anybody know?
Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind.
Yep, that's the one. It says love. He says love. He goes basically, he said love. Love is I have loved you, so I want you to love one another. Love one another is the greatest command, is the new commandment. And then the Last Supper. You guys remember that one?
Yeah.
What did Jesus do? He took bread and wine and gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body and this is my blood. Yeah, exactly. And then Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
Where Jesus served his disciples that way? And then Jesus praying at Gethsemane. And do you know who Jesus prayed for it when he was praying in Gethsemane? He prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for us. Do you know that? Jesus prayed for you. Isn't that amazing? And so, then it's about Jesus arrested and how Jesus was tried and how the soldiers mocked him and then how he died on the cross and how he was buried and how he rose again. Is that what we're celebrating today?
Yeah.
That is what we're, and then how he appears to the disciples and ascends into heaven. And so this is a little flip chart to remind us of all the stories. So what I want you guys to do with these stories is this. I want you to go home and I want you to learn all these stories. Talk to your parents and have them read to you the stories out of a Bible, out of a kid's Bible, or out of the big Bible, whatever it takes. But learn all of these stories, because are the stories about Jesus important? Do they teach about how much he loves us?
Yeah.
Is it important for us to know how much he loves us? Absolutely, and to know how much what he did for us when he died on the cross to take away our sins so that we can live forever with him. Guys, can we pray today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Lord, I pray that you would help us to always know you and know your stories. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, Annie, would you help me get past these out? Because there's a whole bunch of people here. Oh, that's adorable. We like children. All right, guys. Here you go. Everybody take their little book of stories. And then you guys can go back to your parents. Or is there a little worship? Yep, there is a little worship today as well. So anybody 4-year-old through 4th grade can go to little worship, and you guys are going to have a lesson just for you. And the rest of you all can stay here and hear what I got to say from God's word today. You betcha. You betcha. Everybody get one? Oh. We don't want to leave anybody out. All right. Thank you, Miss Annie. All right. We'll give the kids some time to move. Well, folks, today he is risen. And so how much of a difference does that make in our lives, right? Exactly. You know, that story of his risen doesn't come in a vacuum. It doesn't just, this is not the beginning of the story. This is something that happens well into the story. Even the context of his resurrection, just the brief time just before is really meaningful and really important for us to understand so that we can really get our minds around the meaning of he is risen. The first day was miserable, absolutely horrible. The disciples had no idea what was going on. I mean, on the first day, right before the first day, the night before, Jesus was arrested. And then overnight, he stood trial twice, once before Annas, the father-in-law of the high priest, and then before Caiaphas, the high priest himself. And when the Jewish leaders, when the Sanhedrin had fully come up with a plan for how they were going to have Jesus executed, they brought Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor. And they publicly accused Jesus of setting himself up as king in opposition to Caesar. And they tried to make Pilate believe that Jesus was trying to be king. Now, Pilate didn't buy it. He knew that it wasn't right. He knew that what the people were saying was incorrect. He interviewed Jesus himself, and he over and over told the Jewish leaders, he said, "I find no fault in this man. He hasn't done anything that deserves death." But the Jewish leaders continued to stir up the people, and Pilate, fearful that there would be a riot, finally conceded and allowed Jesus to be taken away and crucified. And so the disciples were there. They saw Jesus beaten. They saw Jesus mocked. They saw him abused. They saw him dishonored. They saw him as he carried his own cross to the hill outside Jerusalem where he was crucified. They saw him on the cross. They heard the things that he said. and they saw him die. They saw his body taken off the cross and put into the tomb. They saw the tomb sealed with a great stone, and they saw the Roman soldiers posted in front of the tomb. That was day one. Can you imagine what the disciples were experiencing on day two? Jesus was their friend. They had spent years with Jesus. They were with him constantly. I mean, there was a few times the Bible says that Jesus went away by himself to pray, but you can imagine that the disciples and Jesus spent just unbelievable amounts of time together, and time that, you know, with Jesus couldn't be time, you know, wasted. I mean, it was time spent talking to the God of creation, the one who knows all things, the one who can actually give all the answers. And the disciples walked with him, and as they walked, you know, they talked, and they learned from him. He was their friend. They knew him deeply, and their friend was dead. And that was an enormous source of grief. But Jesus was also their teacher. He was their rabbi. He was the one that taught them that when they were taught walking along the way and they were arguing amongst themselves about who is the greatest, remember? Jesus would teach them. He would teach them. He would tell them, look, it's not about being great the way the world thinks of great. It's about being a servant. And the one who is the greatest is the one who serves the most. He taught them about God's law. That God's law was not like the Pharisees were teaching at the time, just the technical obedience of certain directives, but it was about the love that God demands that we have for one another, and that not only is it that we shouldn't actually end another person's death, but even if we minimize that person, reduce that person's importance in our own hearts, we are already not obeying this commandment, because this commandment is about loving our neighbor. And because Jesus was the teacher, because he was their rabbi, he was also their Lord. Because he taught them, because they trusted him, they would do what he said. I mean, think of some of the things that the disciples were told to do by Jesus. I mean, just beginning of the week, right? Go into the next town and find a donkey with a foal and bring it to me. If anybody asks you, tell them the Lord has need of it and they'll let you go. Sounds like stealing. It sounds weird. What are you talking about, Jesus? We don't do that. That's not a thing that happens. We don't act like that. But because it was Jesus asking, did the disciples do it? Yeah, earlier Jesus said, I want you to go out and I want you to proclaim this message that we've been teaching, this message that you've been learning, and I want you to go out and here's how I want you to do it. I want you to bring no spare coat, no clothes, don't pack anything, don't bring any money, don't bring any food, don't bring anything with you. Just trust that the Lord's going to provide for you. That's kind of weird. Don't plan. Does that sound right? But because Jesus asked them to do it, did they do it? Because Jesus is their Lord. And in a very real way, Jesus was their Savior. Because all these disciples were in these, their lives were not meaning much. I mean, Peter and John and Nathaniel and James were fishermen. So, I mean, they had some kind of meaning in their life. I mean, they were providing for their families and they were fishing. But as far as like any kind of eternal consequence for their life, it just wasn't really there. And all of a sudden, this rabbi comes along and tells them, follow me. And they did. And when they followed him, their lives changed. All of a sudden, they were learning from God. Their lives had eternal consequences. There was important things that were happening. They knew that their lives mattered, that the things that they did mattered, that when they spoke, people listened, and that what they were listening to was actually worth hearing. They knew that their lives mattered. They were rescued from a life of meaninglessness, and isn't that amazing? And so here we are. On day two, they lost all of that. They lost their friend. They lost their teacher. They lost their Lord. They lost their Savior. They no longer had their friend to depend on to talk to. They no longer had their teacher to answer their questions and guide them. And then the question is, if their teacher had been so easily defeated, when were his teachings even that valuable? They lost their Lord. I mean, who is going to guide them? Who is going to help them to know what to do in their lives? And they lost their Savior. They no longer had the purpose and meaning. And so they hid in the upper room and they had nothing. Can you imagine how they were feeling? And then day three. Now day three kind of started out a lot like day two, right? Because Jesus had risen, but the disciples didn't know it yet, right? And so the ladies are heading toward the tomb. And, you know, I mean, this is kind of how it goes, right? When you no longer know what to do, when you're devastated, when you have no plan for what to do next, you fall back on tradition, right? And so the women knew that Jesus had been hurriedly buried at the end of, on Friday. He had been hurriedly buried, put in the grave, sealed in the tomb. But they knew that his body had not been prepared as was tradition, and so they were coming to prepare his body as a proper burial. And on the way to the tomb, they were talking about how they were going to get that stone moved. And what'd they find when they got there? Not only was the soldiers not there anymore, and the stone not in the way, but when they looked in the tomb, it was empty. And then some angels appeared. And I love what the angels say, right? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is alive. Now that was a big announcement for them to take in all at once. I mean, you do understand this, right? I mean, they had had the entire experience of day one watching Jesus as he was dragged through all of that indignity and finally taken to the cross and died. They saw him cry out, "It is finished." They heard his voice. They know what happened. They saw him taken off the cross and put in the tomb. And they had all day Saturday to think about it. Jesus was dead. And now all of a sudden they're being told that he's alive. Now, not only did it take them a little while for them to understand completely the fact of his resurrection, it took them even a little bit longer to understand the implications of the resurrection. The implications of the resurrection are this: Jesus is our Savior. Because you got to remember, the story of Jesus does not begin with Christmas. It does not begin with his birth. The story of Jesus is in John's gospel. He points this out very clearly. He begins his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And he talks about how that Word became flesh and lived among us. Gee, what does that sound like? That the God of creation, the God who is there in the beginning that helped create everything that has been made, was that one that was born to Mary in Bethlehem. The one who grew up, the one who gathered the disciples, the one who taught, the one who led, the one who saved, and the one who saves us. And this isn't some small salvation. This isn't like saving you from a meaningless life so that this life means a little bit more. Does he do that? Absolutely, he does that. Does he bring eternal meaning into the lives of all of his children? That God, he wants us, he expects us, he commands us even, that we would use our gifts and abilities, these things that God has given us, our talents and all the resources that God has given us in his life, that we would use all of these things and bend them to his purpose so that he can be glorified through us. And does that give our life meaning and value? Absolutely. But is that the end of his salvation? Absolutely not. That in his resurrection, we also receive resurrection. Because he died, our sins are paid for. Because he lives, we live forever. That when we were baptized, we do not receive a life that is temporary. It's a life that lasts forever. That you are already living out your eternal life. That when you die, you do not die, but you live. Jesus tells us that everything is going to be brought under submission to him. And all of his enemies are going to be destroyed. All of his enemies, that means all of the enemies of his people. That means cancer, that means heart disease, that means storms, that means earthquakes, that means famines, that means all of the things that persecute and ruin his people, all of the things that destroy his creation, all of the things that corrupt the beauty and wonder of what he has made are going to be wiped out. And he said the last thing that's going to get wiped out is death. We will die no more. Folks, he is our Savior. And because he is our Savior, because he has rescued us, because he has taken us from the meaningless life and giving us meaning, because he has given us the promise of eternal life, the certainty of knowing that our sins are covered, because we know this, we follow him. We do what he says. We want our lives to be meaningful, and we want more people to come to the knowledge of the truth of the gospel, to understand their salvation as well. And so as we follow him, as we dedicate our lives to him, he becomes our Lord. And as we want to know what to do, how do we follow him? What are the things that his followers do? We turn to his word. And we see the word of God that is written there, and he becomes our teacher. And folks, the more we get to know this God, the more we understand his will for this world and the way he wants to work in this world. Jesus told his disciples at one point, he says, "You are not my servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business." Our Lord is telling us his business. He tells us, this is what I'm about. This is what matters to me. I want you to love each other. I want you to spread the message of my gospel. I want more people to be saved. The whole reason I've done all of this is so more people can be in heaven with me. This is what I am about. This is my goal. This is what I am trying to do. And because we know our master's business, the Lord tells us that we are also his friends. Think about that. Now, do we know God as well as we will one day? I mean, the Bible also tells us that right now it's like we're looking through a dark veil, and we see God just a little bit, but one day we will see him face to face. And guys, that's the biggest promise. Because he lives, we have eternity. And it's not just that we get to live forever, but it's that we get to live forever with him. That we will finally know him the way he knows us. That we are going to be able to comprehend, apprehend, and understand and know the God who has created all things, the God who loves us. And we will be able to spend eternity in his presence, praising him purely and with understanding. It won't be based on what we've been told. It'll be based on what we know and what we see. And we will live with him. So is it a big deal that he's alive? Just a little bit, right? So he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
My friends, let us continue our worship service. And as we do so, my friends, let us collect the offering today. And we're finally going to start collecting offering again, which is kind of exciting for to anything that returns us a little bit more to normal. But because he lives, death has no power. And so the next song that we're going to be singing together is about that very topic, that death was arrested in Jesus' resurrection. Let's sing. Dear friends, let us stand as we confess our faith And as we confess today, we are going to be using Luther's explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's pray. And as we pray today, we want to keep Mary Borgschulte in our prayers. She is still hospitalized for back issues. She's just got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So please be praying for her and also for Dorwood as he continues to care for her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, because you live, we live. Because you have been brought back to life, Lord, we know that we in our future will be resurrected and spend all eternity in your presence. Because you died for us and rose again, our sins are covered and we are worthy of living in your place, Lord, because not because of our righteousness, but because of Jesus' righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you have made all this possible because you live. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we celebrate this life, as we live out this life that you have given us, that we can live it in a way that will bring glory to you, that will bring honor to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we serve one another, as we love one another, as we sacrifice for one another, as we grow closer to you, Lord, as we grow in God's word together. Lord, I pray that you would continue to uphold your church and strengthen all of us, Lord. Lord, especially we pray today for Mary, who is still struggling, Lord, with her back issues, Lord, that you would help her to heal, to overcome this infection, that you would give her the ability to not be in such pain so that she can return to the life, Lord, that you have made for her. I pray that you would be with Dorwood as well. Give him patience, give him understanding, give him just help him, Lord, as he loves his wife. And the way you would like him to. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with them and to give her healing. Lord, I pray that you would be with all people throughout the world, all who are struggling for you today, Lord. Because you live, we know that tomorrow is secure. But in this day today, sometimes living with you can be very difficult. And Lord, we know people throughout this world who are persecuted because of their faith, people who are living in different countries, people who are living even in our country, Lord, who, because they say what is true, they are hated and reviled. Lord, I pray that you would be with them, that you would continue to give them strength and that peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, I pray that you would also be with all those who are suffering in this world by whatever means, Lord, whether it be in war-torn countries, whether it be in places where there's not enough food, bad government, Lord, that you would continue to work in the hearts of your believers so that others can come to faith in you, your message can be spread, and your salvation be known by more and more people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work through your people so that your work can continue to be done. And Lord, we look forward to the day when you will come back for us again. When all of this comes to completion, when death and sin and all the problems of the world are finally set to right, and we will spend eternity with you. Lord, we anticipate that day. We look forward to that day. And until then, Lord, we trust you and submit ourselves to you and your work. All these things, Lord, we pray in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us sing the final song together. And folks, what we're doing in this song is we're returning praise and love to the God who has given so much for us and the God who lives. Let's sing. Please have a seat. If few announcements this morning. First of all, you're going to notice that a few parking spots are taken up by large piles of mulch. Thing is, the mulch sale's over, so we have extra. So if anybody hasn't got mulch yet and still needs it, please call Debbie Petrie. Her number is in the bulletin. You can find it. It's like right at the top of the announcement section so that we can redeem those parking spots. Anyway, what else we got? Let's see here now. Flowers and ferns. Okay, some of you people helped buy these. Some of them were bought by the church, and then there was a little interesting thing that happened where we are getting another shipment of ferns tomorrow. Love how life works out, right? And so the thing is that if anybody wants these ferns, we're going to be selling them. We're going to be getting them away as much as we can. Whatever's left, we're going to take to nursing homes and stuff so that they can have the beauty of the flowers and everything. But they don't have room for everything that we have. So please, if you need anything, get in touch with Lauren. Just call the church office and we'll get you straightened out. Let's see here. What else? Here's this. After the service today, if you've got little ones, head out those doors right there. And we are going to be going out. We're going to have a butterfly release and an egg hunt. Now, I'm not sure the butterflies are going to be all that happy about flying in this cold weather, but we'll see what happens. Otherwise, you just throw them a little bit, and then I don't know. We'll figure something out. But anyway, right after the service today, you don't even have to go to the lobby. Just head right out those double doors there, and you'll be out in the athletic field, and we'll be able to do our egg hunt. All right? And I think that's everything I have for you today. Just want to invite everybody here back next week. 9:30 is our normal worship time. This week we had to change things a bit because we have to squeeze two services in. But 9:30 next week, I hope to see you guys all back again as we continue to celebrate his resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of his resurrection. And so happy Easter to all of you, or blessed Easter. I was schooled by this just a little earlier. Blessed Easter to all of you. And I'll see you in the back. If anybody wishes individual prayer, Darwin is going to be, one of our elders is going to be in the prayer chapel after the service today to pray with you.